Yeah. We have be praying as well for our National Association meeting that'll start 2 weeks from today on the 20th in Kansas City. And so be praying as preparations are being made for that, and for speakers especially. It's always a good time of fellowship, and as well as conducting the Lord's business. So, but the reason I tell you that, not just mind you to be praying for the association, I have a preacher friend, Brother Willie. And Brother Willie, we joke with him all the time because no matter where the National's held, somehow he ends up in Nashville. He had to go through Nashville. Now, I rode several years ago now with Brother Willie. Him and I rode to the National, which we lived in Columbus, Georgia, which if you go here and you just go straight east about 6 hours, you end up in Columbus, Georgia. The National was in Fort Worth, Texas, which you go here and you go about 8 hours straight west and you end up in Texas. And I asked Brother Willie, I said, Brother Willie, how are we going to end up in Nashville? Now, it wasn't country music or the Second Avenue that drew Brother Willie. It wasn't even the fact that the Free Will Baptist National offices are in Nashville, Tennessee. There were about 10 things that sent Brother Willie, and one of them was his son and then his daughter. But the real reason that sent him to Nashville all the time were 8 grandkids. And those grandkids just motivated him to go to Nashville. And every time that he had the excuse to go to Nashville, you better believe he went to Nashville. And, you know, he, of course, would, you know, see his son, but the real reason was those grandkids. You know, so there's certain places that we go or trips that are special to us that we have to make trips, and they're good trips. But today we're going to look at a trip that Jesus had to take, not necessarily because it was a joyous trip, but something that he needed to do. So let's take a look beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. And so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, in the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And we'll stop there for right now. What an unusual encounter and an unusual visit that Jesus makes. And we have to understand a little bit about the context and geography of where Jesus was going. Jesus was going through the land of Samaria, this little town called Sychar. Well, that doesn't mean much to us unless we know that Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. They thought the Samaritans were worse than Gentiles, and they didn't like Gentiles. But they thought the Samaritans were even less than them. And they would go so far as to go around Samaria so they didn't even have to walk through it. That's how much they hated it. Kind of like, I hate Atlanta traffic, and if there was a way to get around certain places without going to Atlanta, boy, that would be the best way to go. Because no matter, even if you take the bypass, you end up sitting for forever and a day through that traffic. And so they would go around. But it says that Jesus, as he was going back to Galilee, had to go through Samaria. One, because the disciples expected him to. They expected him to do quite the opposite, because that's what they always did. That's the way they always took. And so, but it's, John says that Jesus had to go. Why did he have to go? Well, he went to meet a woman. And it wasn't a princess, it wasn't a queen, it wasn't a ruler. In fact, she was a social outcast that nobody wanted to be around. That, by the way, is why we find her at noontime when the sun's hottest and most people were at home eating lunch and taking the afternoon siesta. She, by herself, was gathered around the well to gather water. Normally, in that culture, that was a social event. They went to, not just to get water, but to socialize. But she avoided that because of her past. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But I want us to understand a few things about the story. The first is, as we talk about just having to go, is that Jesus understood his mission. Jesus understood why he came and what his purpose was. And though it wasn't popular, it wasn't going to win him any popularity contests. In fact, it was going to ultimately cost him his life. But in laying his life down, he was going to raise again. But by shedding his blood, he paid the sin debt for me and for you and for all the whosoever's. But he understood, as he was on his way back to Galilee, why he came. He's already told us in John chapter 2 and 3, he came that he point others to the Father. And we talked last week about that wonderful, simple verse of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would call upon him would not perish but have everlasting life. And in chapter 4, John is the only gospel writer, by the way, that recounts this, though they were all present for it. John points it out, I think, because he wants us to understand Jesus knew why he came, and it wasn't to win a popularity contest, and it wasn't to seek a throne even. The Bible says that Jesus came to serve. And it's not something we normally think of rulers doing, is it? We don't think of kings as serving others. And yet Jesus himself says that's why he came. And so he declared to Nicodemus at night that the reason he came was so that people could find eternal life, that they could have a relationship with God. And when Jesus told Nicodemus what's written down and we know as John 3:16, he didn't just say God so loved the Jews. That's not what he says, is it? And it's not that Jesus loves white people or that Jesus loves the Arabs or Jesus loves Africa. No. What does it say? Jesus said, God so loved the world. And so now in chapter 4, he embodies that mission and he says, you know, it's not just something we say, it's something we're going to demonstrate. But, you know, our church, you know, we've got a mission statement that talks about, you know, us knowing and sharing the love of God and, you know, serving Christ and, you know, helping each other grow. And it's great to say that, but friend, it's quite another thing to do it. Jesus really is not impressed by our statements, but he is impressed by our actions. Because as we act, that is showing Jesus, hey, these people get it. And Jesus set that example for us because though it was socially awkward, and though it even made the disciples uncomfortable. They listen, we don't go this way, Jesus. We go around. We know it's further. But we like going around. And Jesus said, no, I've got to go to Sychar. And so they make the trip. And as they head to the market, the disciples went to buy food. Jesus was hanging out by this well at noontime. The Samaritan woman whose name we don't even know. But she came, she thought it awkward that, listen, there's this Jewish guy standing next to the well. What's up with this? But she went, she had to draw the water. And Jesus says, would you get me a drink of water? That's what she said. All right. Men aren't supposed to talk to ladies. And Jews are certainly not supposed to have anything to do with Samaritans. So what do you think you're doing, asking me for a drink of water? And don't you know this well is super deep? And you don't even have a cup. How are you going to get the water? All legitimate questions. Because the woman didn't understand who Jesus was or what his mission was, but Jesus did. And so Jesus approached this woman and understood that he had to take the gospel not just to Nicodemus and not just to the religious elite, if you will, but to the outcasts. And Jesus, that's what Jesus does in John chapter 4. And so he doesn't just meet the outcast. He goes and finds the outcast of all outcasts. The woman that nobody in Sychar wanted anywhere near them. She was the one that your parents warned you about, saying, don't you be friends with a girl like that. That was who this woman was. And she certainly lived up to that reputation. But here's the thing. Jesus understood his mission. He knew why he came, that he came for everyone. But then I think as we read this story, there's another truth that comes out, that Jesus knows all about you. He knew all about this woman. He knew when she was going to show up at the well. There's no such thing as circumstance, you know, just happenstance in the Bible. It happened on purpose. Because God knew when this woman was going to show up, and he knew that she was the one that he was coming to visit. And so they had this long spiritual dialogue. And then Jesus says something interesting in verse 8. He said, go and call your husband and come back. We don't know exactly, but we can read between the lines. It's possible that her four previous husbands all died. It's maybe why the fifth one wasn't so keen on marrying her, but the implication is, you know, she's living with this guy now that is not her husband. It's somewhat taboo, not as much anymore in our culture, but it was very, 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 very taboo in Jesus' day. And she was maybe not a harlot, but everyone in town certainly thought she was. And that certainly was the reputation she had. And even though Jesus knew, and Jesus says that to her to show he knows all about this woman. And yet he offers her an insight to the gospel. And says, you know what, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. And he would have given you living water. This woman went every day at noon whenever she knew there wouldn't be anybody else at the well, and she wouldn't have to look at their eyes and hear their snickers and their snide remarks. But Jesus showed up just at that point. Jesus could have met her someplace less conspicuous and more private. But he didn't. He wanted this woman to know, and in fact, that made a great impression on her, because as you read down in these later verses, she goes and she tells the people of town, listen, there was this guy named Jesus. He told me all the things I had done. He said, do you suppose that this could be the promised Messiah? And Jesus has told her that he was. In that last verse that we read, verse 26. But she had been so dejected and rejected for so long by so many. And yet Jesus accepted her. He didn't judge her. He didn't say, well, clean yourself up, marry this guy, and get things together, and then come back and see me. And then I might give you this living water that's going to bubble up inside you like a fountain. You see, Jesus knows all about our history. He knows all about our traditions. He knows about our failures. He knows about the things that we've failed at. He knows about our struggles. And yet he came for you. And he came for me. Because Jesus looks beyond our guilt and the mess that we are, and he looks at what he created us to be. You see, the reason Jesus knew all about this woman was not just because he was God, but because he made her. And guess what? The maker knows about the things that he makes. He knew all about her shame, knew all about her failures, knew all about her circumstances and her reputation, and yet he loved her. And yet he went to her. Plenty of other Gentiles and plenty of Samaritans he could have visited to make the same point, but he went to this woman. Because Jesus wants us to know and understand he knows all about you. You say, and I've heard people say, I know that, you know, I need to be, but I've just done too much bad. There's no way God can forgive me. But the wonder and the marvelous thing about grace is that no matter how dark and how deep your sin and your failures are, God's grace covers it. Heaven can come down and cover it. The gospel reminds us over and over again, Jesus wants us to understand, he says in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, listen, your Father knows all about you. Jesus makes a point, he said, look at these little birds. They're not totally wondering how they're going to, they just sing and chirp. These lilies, they're not stressing about how they're going to grow. They're just soaking it up and being pretty and doing the things that lilies do. And Jesus says, you know what? You are more valuable than any of these that things that you know and see that God takes care of. And Jesus says, you are more valuable than any of these. And friend, we need to know and understand that not only does Jesus know all about you and loves you anyway, we have to share that message that, hey, listen, no matter how much you failed, no matter how much you falter, Jesus knows all about you and he loves you despite yourself. And then here's the last thing about this wonderful story. Is that not only does Jesus understand his mission, not only does Jesus know all about you, but lastly I want us to see something. Jesus invites you to join his mission. We left out and stopped reading in verse 26, but if you continue on in verse 27 and following, Jesus' disciples show back up, and they see him talking to someone like, Jesus, don't you know who that lady is? Listen, you ought to be talking to ladies like this. And Jesus kind of rebuked and said, listen, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it. And even if you don't understand it, which oftentimes they didn't, did they? So this woman goes, and then we pick up in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Interesting to me, perhaps it is to you, that the first ones to recognize Jesus for the Savior that he was not the priests. It wasn't the religious elite. It wasn't even Gentiles. It was the bottom feeder Samaritans. But this woman who, as the story began, she avoided everybody. But when we find her at the end, she's going about telling everybody, listen, I met this man named Jesus. And as she told him about that, here's the neat thing. They came to find him too. And so many in Samaria came to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so many believed, and they said, listen, stay with us, stay a while. Now, if there was anything, it was bad enough that Jews were going through Samaria. Now they were spending the night. It was not just a quick little, let's get through here as quick as we possibly can. But they spent a couple days. Here's the thing. Jesus' message of grace is marvelous and it's wonderful and it can still change lives. Today it changed mine. I hope and pray it changed yours too. But here's the thing. As much grace as God has given out over the years, he still has some to give. And he still has lives to change. And his word today is as true and powerful as it was when John heard those words the first time. How are others going to hear? Can I tell you that as hard as it is for us to believe, there are people in Pearl, Mississippi and in Rankin County that have never heard of Jesus. There was a day and time when John 3:16, as I said last week, everybody knew what John 3:16 was. Even if you didn't go to church, you knew what John 3:16 was. A great number of people in today's world don't have a clue what John 3:16 is. But just because they don't recognize and know what it is does not mean that it's not true, because it's as true today as it was when Jesus said it. And so the neat thing about grace is not only does God change you, and not only is God's grace available to you, the Scriptures declare it's available to absolutely anyone who will receive it. Even a harlot Samaritan that nobody wanted to be friends with and everybody warned their kids to stay away from. They initially saw her as that, but when she met Jesus and she came and told him, and then they came and met Jesus, their idea of the Samaritan woman changed a good bit, I guarantee you. I sure am thankful that God's grace is still amazing, and it's still free, and it's still available to absolutely anyone who will receive it. Aren't you glad for that? And then perhaps the most wonderful and marvelous and unusual thing is that not only that God saves us, but that God then says, yeah, I'll save you and I'll change you, but then I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you part of my army. And I've got work for you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you for the gospel and for its transformative power. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to live in your grace and to share your grace with others. Lord, it's not something that we're to keep to ourselves. But Lord, it's something we are to experience. If there's one here today or watching on the internet that's never received that grace and never found what it means to be changed by the amazing grace of an amazing God, would you help them today to call upon you? Lord, help us as a church to, as we've been changed by the gospel, help us to take that message to our community and around the world. Lord, we don't want anyone to have an excuse to say, you know, I never heard of Jesus. We want everybody to have that opportunity. And Lord, just like the Samaritans, the opportunity that folks have to meet Jesus often starts by those that have found him to open their mouths and say, listen, I found this man named Jesus and he changed my life. And the reality is, if you can change my life, you can change any one of our lives, you can change anyone's life. Thank you for that great truth. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Be to our hearts, we pray. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of response, and God spoke into your heart. It'll be a great day for you to come.